Good afternoon. We're glad to be here again from Partick, Free Church of Scotland, continuing. And we want to bring to your attention the good news of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we acknowledge that most people don't go to the house of God these days, and therefore they don't hear the good news of the gospel. And that's why we're out here this afternoon to seek to bring to your attention what is found in God's word. And this is a message that you need to hear. It's vitally important. This is arguably the most important message that you can hear, because it is a message concerning the salvation of your never-dying eternal soul. Now, I realize some of these words might be somewhat strange to you, but what does salvation mean? Salvation means to be delivered, to be set free. And your soul is your person. It is yourself. We are made in the image of God. He has given us a body that has come from the dust. But He has given us something more. He has given us a soul. And we are body and soul. Now, one day, friends, as you know, one day your body shall die. Your body will go into the earth. It will rot. It will decay. But that's not the same with your soul. Your soul is eternal. And the moment that you die, your soul shall return to God who gave it in the first place. And therefore, this is what Christianity is essentially all about. It is about the Lord Jesus Christ, that one who came to seek and to save that which was lost. And we by nature, every one of us, the speaker is not accepted, every one of us by nature are lost. We are perishing. And we have an ever-dying eternal soul that if it's not saved, it shall be lost for all eternity. And therefore, that is why I said earlier on that this message that we seek to bring to you this afternoon has eternal significance. It is the most important thing that you can possibly hear. And it's something that you must respond unto. You cannot, in any sense, ignore this message, because ultimately it is concerned about your eternal well-being. About your eternal well-being and where you will spend eternity. As you know, friends, we are here upon this earth for how long? 70 years, maybe 80 years, maybe a bit longer, very often a lot less than that. You, along with I, have attended funerals of people much younger than ourselves. Life is very short. Life can be brief. Life is very uncertain. James tells us in his epistle, what is your life? It is but a vapor. And as the psalmist says, we are here today and we are gone tomorrow. And we want to address that question, where will you go? Where will you go when you pass from this scene of time? It's possibly something that you don't want to consider. Many people simply bury their heads in the sand concerning this question. But is that really a sensible option? Because as I look at life here, as I look upon life on this earth, there is one thing that's absolutely certain. None of us are getting out of here alive. None of us are getting out of here alive. This world is nothing but a glorified hospital. We're all sick. And ultimately, friends, we're all going to die. Now, you can avoid that question for some time, or you can avoid that reality for some time, but sooner or later, it's going to become a reality for you. And I want to ask the question and provide an answer for you. How will you fare in eternity? Well, friends, the Christian can know that his sins are forgiven. The Christian is one who is right with God. And therefore, the day that he passes into eternity, he will go to heaven. He will go to that blessed place. He will go to that place of peace, felicity, happiness, and blessedness. That's available to all Christians. That is what the Christian shall know and experience in his reality. And friends, you might want to ask the question, where will you go and how will you fare that day? Well, the only way that you can be saved is to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is to have him as your Lord and as your Savior. That's the only hope. And again, Christianity is very dogmatic about this matter. Christianity tells us that there is only one Savior. As you will know, friends, you will know there are tens and tens of thousands of religions. This world is thronged in religions. They're all over us. Everywhere we go, we have religious leaders, religious gurus, we have philosophers, we have ideologies, and they're all trying to tell us that this is the way. This is the way to salvation. This is the way to be right with God. This is the way to be happy. But Christianity tells us that happiness, blessedness, eternal life is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He himself did say these words, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And when he said, no man cometh to the Father but by me, he was talking about heaven. He was talking, it's impossible for anyone to get to heaven unless they come by the Lord Jesus Christ. He must take you and he must save you. He must forgive your sins and he must prepare you to come to heaven, to be with him. Do you remember what he said to his disciples not long before he was crucified? Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. These were the comforting words that he said to his disciples. Hours before he was crucified on the cross, he was concerned about them. And therefore, friends, we must recognize that Jesus alone can save us. We cannot save ourselves. No other religion, no other teacher, no other religious guru can save us. It doesn't matter how good that religion may be, it cannot save. Only Christ. You know, the disciples, they went about preaching this gospel, and because of this, they lost their lives. But they were not afraid to declare, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. That's what they said. And that was part of the message that turned the world upside down. The message that Jesus saves. And the Apostle Paul, what did he say? He said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. of whom I am the chief. And I believe our greatest problem today is that we do not realize our true state and our true condition before God. We look at ourselves, we look at our neighbors, we look at our family, and we look at our friends, and we compare our lives with them. We see how they are behaving, and we see that we are no different from them. We're not any worse than them. And therefore we say to ourselves, then surely we must be all right. But you're forgetting one important reality. You will not be judged alongside your neighbors or your friends or your family or your husband or your wife. You will not be judged alongside criminals, rapists, murderers, or whatever. Instead, you will be judged by the perfect law of God. You will be judged according to that law. You may well wonder, what is that law that I'm referring to? That law is the Ten Commandments. That law that God has given to you. That law that is written upon your heart by nature. That law that you're aware of. Maybe you don't want to observe it, or maybe you don't want to think upon it, but nevertheless, you know it. Because God, who made you in the beginning, has put that law in your heart. The Ten Commandments. Maybe I can briefly recall the Ten Commandments for you as you pass by. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. These are the first four commandments that we find in the Ten Commandments. The fifth commandment is to honor thy father and thy mother. The sixth commandment is thou shalt not kill. The seventh, thou shalt not commit adultery. The eighth, thou shalt not steal. The ninth, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And the tenth, thou shalt not covet. These are the commandments that God has given to you and to me. And we are expected to keep these commandments perfectly. Now, if you are thinking at all, even as you pass by, as I have recited these commandments to you, if you are thinking seriously, you must be saying to yourselves, Minister, I cannot possibly keep these commandments. I have broken these commandments on many occasions. How many of us have never lied? We might not like to be called a liar, but how many of us have never lied? The answer is, we've all lied. How many of us have stolen? We might not like to be called a thief, but the reality is, friends, we have stolen. We have maybe stolen from the tax man. We've not filled in our tax returns accurately. We have stolen. We are thieves. On many other occasions, very often we steal from God. We don't give God what it rightly belongs unto him. We are thieves. And of course, if we go through all of these commandments, we will find that we have broken them. What is the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. How many gods have you got, friends? You're only to have one God. You're to worship one God. And that God is the Bible, who has revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yet we have a multitude of gods. What are your gods? A god is anything that takes the place of the one true and the living God. Therefore, our God could well be ourselves, because we think too much about ourselves. If we are simply taken up with ourselves, then our God is ourselves. Ask yourself that question. Is your life totally revolved around you, yourself? Do you ever think of the living God who made you and who formed you? Do you ever think of Him at all? Maybe your God is something else. Maybe it's money. How many people love money? We all like to have some money. We need money. But how many people love it? And their whole lives are taken up trying to amass more and more of it. Does this describe you, friend? If that is the case, then money is your God. Maybe your God is your husband or your wife. Very possibly you think more of them than you do of God, or your children, or your family. Maybe it's your work. Many people love their work. Well, it's very good to be diligent. It's good to be hardworking. But maybe you think far more about your work than you do about the great God of heaven. Maybe your God is entertainment. How many people are simply living for the weekend? They cannot wait until the working week is over so that they can indulge themselves and entertain themselves in various forms. Life is all about entertainment to many people. Or maybe it's sport. There are a multitude of things that can be our gods. And therefore, friends, we have broken the first commandment. We don't think of God as we should. We don't consider His claims upon us. And therefore, when we think about the first commandment, we realize that we have broken all the commandments of God. Is there any hope for us? Well, yes, of course there is some hope for us. That's why we're here this afternoon. We're here to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to tell you about that one who has suffered and who has died in the room and in the place of sinners.